Well, welcome everyone. See, it's time to begin. Good to be together for us in Colorado here at kind of the end of our day, coming into the evening. Good to feel this celebratory time. Lots more fun than a silly old vice presidential debate. And more exciting and unpredictable, I would imagine. So good to share this time together. Lovely to see all your faces. And just to feel our collective energy field. To begin, we're going to have a meditation movement experience with Karen. Karen, thank you for arising in the wee hours of the morning in Devon to do this with us. Such a pleasure. And I'll pass it over to you.
Thank you. Good evening, everybody. I hope you're well. I'd just like to talk about for a few minutes about making the invisible visible and manifested, as it's part of the natural state and flow of creation. And when we're passionate about our ideas, we actually love them into being. We create them and we make them manifest. We design them and we fulfill our dreams. We build kitchens, we build houses, we build cars, we build cities. And we design through the love that we have and the passion that we have within ourselves. And I feel the same in healing. And when we're passionate about healing, we're driven by that love within us to heal ourselves and to heal others. And so that's the invisible becoming visible. And you can see that in many cases. And the attunement concept and design, which I was given the opportunity to work with, was a creation that I'd been waiting long and hard to bring into being for years and years. And I observe nature as part of my job. And I always observe the flow of the wind. And the wind is invisible. It's an invisible force. And I look at the movement it creates when it's sort of moving in the trees, in the willow trees, how they move their beautiful long limbs in the breeze, and how the oak trees moved. And even when the washing is hanging on the washing line, how it's moved forward and back or swaying in the wind on the line. And then watching sails moving across the sea, either slowly with the sails gently being bellowed by the wind, and even in forceful gales, they're blown across the sea. So they're speeding across the waves. And I imagine healing and creation, thought and love to flow like the wind. It's invisible, but you know it's there. So I'd like to repeat that because it had a profound impact on me when I actually was doing this observation years ago. I imagine healing, creation, thought and love to flow like the wind. It's invisible, but you know it's there. And aerodynamically, wind measures speed, shape and movement. It molds areas and mountains and lands. And we also use that measurement for cars, aeroplanes, buildings, structures. So it has an invisible force and an invisible measurement. But the other element is animals that are aerodynamically created to run against the wind or to lift themselves up against the wind. So tonight I want you to make the flow of movement manifest and listen to Spring by Vivaldi and imagine the colours that he evokes in your mind's eye. And if you can, use your arms like a conductor, bringing that imaginary flow into being. Because I imagine that flow of healing going from the attuner through the body to heal that body, the endocrine gland, and moves back out through the body. And it's got this beautiful flow. It moves with the flowing energy. I don't feel that healing can be square. It's got this beautiful flow like the wind. So I'd like you to imagine when you're listening to Vivaldi that you're evoking that energy, that healing energy is coming from you manifest. It doesn't have to be big, gregarious movements. Just do small movements or even keep your eyes closed or watch everybody else having a go at conducting the energy in the flow of Vivaldi. So let's listen together and express healing creation through movement manifest, bringing the invisible visible.
Wow. So lovely. Thank you for leading us in that, Karen. Interesting that I was thinking of tonight, and some of you know that when preparing for a service, I often, most often, script it out carefully. And tonight, just nothing was quite coming, and it just didn't seem like that kind of a night. So I thought, I'll be winging it. And how appropriate, given Karen's opening. So if we wing it, maybe we can fly a little bit. You up for winging it with me? Yeah, just being with the wind of spirit, being open, see what wants to appear in consciousness individually and then together. And we'll just give it a go here. Jim is ready to help out as long as I give him a minute or two advance notice of whatever it is we want to do. But we'll wing it. And so what I'd like to do to begin with is, first of all, tell a little story and then share some ideas, and then we'll take it from there. So here's my story. When it was about 1980, I lived at Glen Ivy. Joyce and I lived there. We got married there. And we had a one-room apartment. It was right on the parking lot. And I forgot what they called that block of apartments. But some of you may remember it had at one point had baths in it, mineral baths in it. But anyway, we had this one-room apartment, and Joyce and I are both musicians, and we had other people who were interested in music, and we had a beat-up old pair of bongo drums. So the skin on it was ripped. At least one of the heads was ripped. And it was just lying around, and there was a few of us in this one-room apartment, and I had a guitar, and so we started to play something or other. And this man who lived in San Diego was up for the day for the service, and his name was Ron Free. So Ron was there, and he picked up this beat-up old pair of bongo drums, and I happened to know at the time that he was a professional drummer. So it was like dazzling, just the rhythms he coked out of this beat up old set of bongo drums. And he wasn't too proud to play them. He wasn't too proud to play with us. And it was, you know, just one of those moments of musical performance when you just think, you know, we're not worthy just because of the amazing musicianship. So the story of Ron's drum playing is that he was an up and coming drummer, and I've seen articles that were in the jazz press at the time, and he was just looked at as this young phenom, and he played with the likes of Stan Getz. And if you don't know who Stan Getz is, you've probably heard him play Girl from Ipanema on the saxophone. Anyway, Ron played with him. And then the rest of the story with Ron is that he got into trouble in the music scene. It wasn't a healthy scene. You can imagine the jazz music scene. And it just wasn't good for his life. And at some point he gave it up. And he ended up, as he just said recently to some of us, he ended up driving taxi in San Diego. And apparently in the process of all that, he met a bartender who found out who he was and got him back playing in the music scene in San Diego. And he connected with the emissaries at that point, with Glen Ivy. And he was a vital part of what's happening. So some of us who participated in this service council that we had, and for the first time, at least in many years, Ron participated and was there. And it's just a joy to have his inspiration and intelligence and a kind of wry sense of humor all at the same time. And I just heard from Tom that Tom's talking to him about playing drums for a service sometime, and he seems willing. So we can look forward to that, to hearing from Ron playing the drums. So that's my little story. And I want to focus on that ripped up drum head. The ripped up drum head. And I thought today, some point during the day, I said, yep. That's kind of what's happened. Like the drum head is ripped. So what is the drum head? The head of the drum is that part of us that resonates spiritually. That's simply what it is. So there's some part of us that catches the wind. So when the wind of spirit comes, there's part of us, if the sail is up, you know, the sail catches the wind. I've been in a sailboat with a rip sail. makes you kind of nervous. It doesn't catch the wind so well, and if it's ripped, it could rip some more. But the whole idea of the sail is to catch the wind. Just like the whole idea of the drumhead is to catch the vibration that comes through the hand to resonate it. And then going to what I'm really talking about, I'm really talking about that spiritual field in us that vibrates when we touch the spirit. It vibrates in our spirit when we touch the spirit. But you might say our sail has to be up, and the sail has to be in one piece. So the thought I had is, you know, whether it's an individual human being, or whether it's any collective of human beings, what can happen is that that drumhead becomes ripped. So what does that mean? It means that something in the spiritual fabric of a person can rip, can come apart, can lose its ability to vibrate wholesomely with the drumbeat of spirit. And so, well, there's something rattling, something shaking, like Ron pounding on that beat up old pair of bongo drums. Yeah, there's something rattling, there's something shaking, but it's not sounding quite like it should. It's not getting that good, wholesome beat that a good drum head can get. It's rattling, perhaps. And then maybe not even catching all of the vibration that is looking to come into it. So that can happen for a person. And then it certainly has happened for us as humanity. We have a debate that has gone on. I don't know if it's over, but I'm not going to get into the politics of it, so don't worry. But I think we somehow sense that it's not only a debate. Like, a good debate is a good thing, right? If we were to debate about something, should we do it this way? Should we do it that way? That could be a good thing. But I think we sense there's something more than a debate going on here. There's something about the drumhead that's not just two halves of one drumhead. It's the drumhead has gotten ripped so that it's not all vibrating together. And that's that easy to pick on dimension of human culture and human experience. But I think we sense that that's a pervasive problem for us as human beings. And if you think about it, is it not true that anytime that we as human beings come together in any kind of collective, from a community to a family to an organization, we're there and we're facing this global pandemic. And I'm not talking about the virus. We've got this global pandemic of division, of the drumhead being unable to collectively catch the wind, catch the vibration, and vibrate together wholesomely. So what's the answer to all that? We've been using the phrase signature vibration. The signature vibration. The implication is that for any field, for any individual human being, any group of human beings, for all of us as humankind, there is a signature vibration. There is a tone. There is an essence of essences. And it is out of that core vibration, that core essence, that the vision is born for that field. The dream for the field is born from that. And our dream that we have personally, our gift is born out of that signature vibration for us that is who we are, that vibrates out of who we are. And so to know our wholeness as a human being, We have to know that signature vibration. We have to have tuned into it. We have to know what it is and tune into it now. And then let it vibrate through our drum. And that brings healing, as Karen was saying so beautifully. It brings healing to our drum. Wholeness. We begin to vibrate with it. We begin to be filled with the visions that come out of that vibration. The visions of what can be created. And the patterns, the design of creation, begin to come into the field of consciousness. There is this field of consciousness. And I would love to play with that with you just a little bit, if you're willing to play in your own mind. So where do your thoughts live? Where do your thoughts live? Where do your feelings live? I think usually when we think of it, our thoughts live here. Maybe our feelings live here. But do you ever find that you think differently if you're thinking with another person? That somehow you're thinking together and your thoughts are not just in here, they're kind of hovering in the air. They're hovering in this field of consciousness, in the energy field, in the spiritual field, the field of the human spirit, which can vibrate with the spirit of all, with this signature vibration. There is this field in which our thoughts and feelings live. And it's not exactly the brain. And it's not exactly the physical heart. It's hovering in this field. And they're resonating in the field. And the thoughts and the feelings that we have are both in the field and resonating with it. And then in this mysterious way, they are shaping the field. They are generating the field. They are living in the field, and somehow they are governing the field, you might say. The thoughts and the feelings are carrying the vibration into the field. I don't want to try to figure all this out too scientifically at the moment. I'm more interested in the mystery of all that and appreciating, not on a theoretical basis, but on a experiential basis, how this really happens. So if we are in the field together, and I am thinking a certain quality of thought, and having and bringing a certain quality of feeling into the field, it's shaping the field and vibrating the field. And if you're in that field with me, you are probably feeling that vibration and maybe even sharing the same thought and the same feeling. And together, this collective field of thought and feeling in the field is shaping the field and vibrating the field, and something's happening. And then we're beginning to vibrate with this signature vibration for this field that we're sharing, and each in our own unique way, and yet with a common beat, a common vibration that seems to coordinate it all. And then we begin to dream a shared dream. You know, for young people coming together, they begin to share the dream of having a family, of having a home. For us at Sunrise Ranch, we begin to have a shared dream. We're dreaming Sunrise Ranch together. And it's in the field of consciousness. And it's catching the wind, and the wind is vibrating. So that it's vibrating so much, it's actually beginning to take birth. It's actually beginning to take form. And in this world of essence that includes thought and feeling, we begin to see it's a world of preform, of essence before form. or in back of form that gives birth to form through the vibration working through it. So what does it take to allow our drumhead to reshape and reform? I do believe we have to know the signature vibration. We say the signature vibration for this planet is love. The drum is for that one love. What is the signature vibration of any one of us? What is the signature vibration for Sunrise Ranch? For all of us who live here and play a part in this place, do we know the signature vibration of Sunrise Ranch? What is it for emissaries of divine light? Or for whatever creative field we find ourselves in? So those are my beginning thoughts here. It includes the question of how do we become drum makers? How do we become someone, be that one who brings the drum together so that it can beat together and bring the vibration that it's meant to bring? I rather imagine that we've all had at least something of that experience, and maybe a lot of it. Okay, what did we learn? Yeah, we need all our knowledge on this. We need all our wisdom on how the drum comes together, how the vibration comes into the drum, how we beat the drum together. Some of us had 4 days together online in this council. Reporting on such things is difficult because it kind of goes to, geez, wish you were there, you know, sorry you didn't, weren't a part of it kind of a thing. So that's not at all what I want to bring here. What I want to bring is, if we're connected, you were a part of it, even if you weren't online. We're part of that vibration. And if any of us needed proof that these principles are important and that they are profound in the human experience, I would think that would have done it for you. It did it for me. Just brought the awareness, wow, we could do that, huh? And we did it online. No, we weren't even together in person. But we somehow found a way to rebuild the drumhead and then allow it to be beat upon by the heartbeat of creation. And it was lovely and it was profound. So here's my question. What are your insights into all this? And what we might do together to be the drum and to allow this drum or this collective field of consciousness and spiritual substance, the human, our collective human spirit, resonate and vibrate with the wind of the spirit. So that's my question, and I'm just going to open this up for any either questions, comments, dialogue, and we'll just let it go for a while and see where we go. And, you know, we'll have to work out, you know, trying not to speak over one another. But I'm sure we can learn to be gracious about that.
I believe, David, it takes a pure heart. It takes a set direction of the mind and heart in order to become a flow that connects with the true spirit that's behind all this, that we are, and that allows magnification of this vibration to touch others and to just become overwhelming in the situation. I think we've touched that during our time together in those 4 days. We felt the building up of this vibration, the new plasma that was present, the kinship that was part of everything that we touch at this point. So I'm very honored to be on this call with you. Thank you.
I was thinking as you spoke of the tone or the attunement, and how as behind all that we do in this program, we're discovering how we radiate into a field individually and collectively. And there is a tone, and without being arrogant or vain, one has to love one's own tone, one's own sense of tone. And no matter how shattered my past or my programming or my heredity or my emotions or subconscious, all that stuff, my beliefs have been, no matter how rough the drumhead has been in my expression, that I'm here to be part with everyone else and to love, to generate, to give, and to discover that tone, and then to interrelate with others. I mean, the minute you get two people together, you have this combined agreement to express each other's expression of what they love to express, and creativity begins to happen. Communication begins to happen. A blending begins to happen, and we can help each other without a lot of imposition. Just feel the love in the atmosphere that's around us and know that we are agreeing and we are creating together. And it fills in all the substance, all the holes in our personal substance, all the parts that have been dark and weak and cracked, fill in with this substance of love. And it begins to be a collective thing, and it becomes irresistible to people, whether they're conscious of you or not. They're being invited back into this clearing, renting of the veil, and the opening of this new heaven.
Thank you, Bob. That was some of the essence of what I was feeling with my yoga and toning and toning the body, toning pianos, toning my paintbrushes. And I feel that when we don't have that tone, that connection with another, and when you reach that the same tone as them, you get that balance, that beautiful alignment and that beautiful balance. And so when you're toning and creating together, it's almost like playing an instrument, or, you know, fighting with toned swords, or, you know, having a creative duel together. I mean, I have dreams about toning my voice, tones inanimate objects into being. And I've never really told anybody this, but I do have some strange dreams. And one of my dreams, my voice was toning a sword, and the sword cut through this essence in the void, and it took me into a different reality, and it was like going into Oz. And so, you know, if you let your mind go into this like beautiful element of toning and imagination, imagine what you can pull back from those dreams and land them into being. And so I feel that toning energy, that creative force is what we all need to develop and hone in, because without toning ourselves, we're useless, we're limp, we're not strong, and we're not giving. But toning together in that creates that vibration of the drum that David's talking about. But for me, that word that you said was a very important word. The tone is the alignment of the vibration. Beautiful.
Thank you, Karen. That's beautiful. I've had the privilege of hearing Ron Free play, and you talk about magic. It was another world watching him and hearing what he was doing. And I was reminded of when we had a drum business here at Sunrise Ranch for a number of years, making and selling djembe drums. And I used to love to go in where they were working and watch them stretching that skin onto the drums. And I know that has something to do with the whole tone. It just has to be done a certain way. And that's a big part of what makes a drum the best it can be, to stand out And I think we've all had some stretching, and I certainly have. And the tone is so important, and we can change. There is magic afoot. Like you were saying, Karen, we can change substance. We can change even physical substance. I remember Yolanda talking about that. It's possible. And I think we've only just begun to see the magic that's possible because of being together and because of our first love. So thank you. And thank you, David. It's beautiful consideration.
Thank you, Shireen. I can think of a great example of changing physical substance the way that you mentioned it. When Angelica was only in third or fourth grade, she was being bullied by some of the big men in her class. And this was fairly typical. And her mother, Nancy, and I decided that not only could she go for her black belt, but we would do it with her, all three of us. And the early stages were relatively easy if we stayed self-disciplined, but it got to be harder and harder as we went for the more advanced belts. And I had to have surgery in both shoulders from those flying flips that you've probably seen. You don't get those just right the first few times around. And so there were some challenges along the way, but we had a great master, Master Kim. And as we got toward the higher levels, he taught the group something. He said, when people go up for their belt, doing something they've never done before, such as breaking a brick or breaking two bricks or whatever it might be, thoughts come up in the head and you think, can I do that or will I break my hand? I've never done this before. And he would have the group stand around the individual at that time in a very specific way and at just the right time say, you can do it. You can do it. And it changed the very vibration in the room, and the consciousness that was collective had a power equal to the power of the individual. I felt it, I knew it, and something was happening. So when we went further and had even more difficult trials, he said, there's no longer any need to say you can do it. And this was a great surprise. It had become like a crutch for us when we came up. He said, just think it. And because everyone had that memory of you can do it being spoken, you still felt the vibration without the words. The consciousness actually altered the form of what was happening. And when I broke cinder blocks and things for the first time, which I never thought I could do, and which I had some trepidation about, I knew we were breaking through them, that the form was being changed by vibration. And although I had to learn certain things and made mistakes at first, and so did Angelica and Nancy, there was something that we learned of victory because of the collective vibration that is so powerful and still gives me confidence when I'm being chased down a dark alley, so to speak. I know that I don't have the physical strength anymore, but vibrationally I can do it. So thank you, David.
Thank you, Tom. I was thinking of, Shireen, when you were saying about pulling the skin over the drum and tightening it, you know, you need 2 points at least. And I was thinking of recent situations where I've been maybe holding one side and wanting someone on the other side. And just recently, just today, Lana stepped forward and said, I'll be willing to hold that other side with you. And I felt the pressure release within me around the situation. And I felt like we were holding opposite sides of that skin and leaning out and just leaning out, but in energetically into what we're creating together, what we're holding together. And what came through was so beautiful. It wasn't world changing or sparkly and stuff, but it was exactly what needed to happen when two people are in agreement. Just feeling that leaning back and Lana holding on her side and leaning out as well, and then just holding each other in that taut experience, allowing the tone to come through between us. It's beautiful. And I figure when two people are doing that and a third comes in that doesn't know what's happening, but automatically they can see and feel, and then they grab another part of it, and there goes even less tension, and there goes less and less and less, and pretty soon it's done. It's a full drum. It's been put together, it's wired up, and the tone goes out into the world. We did that. I mean, I feel like the Jerusalem challenge was that too. I mean, I have so many recent experiences of that, you know. That's my thoughts around this.
Thank you, Keahi. I'm reflecting on how the Primal Spirituality series is really talking about how the drum is made, talking about all the facets of human character that go to make up the drum, and then talking about the reciprocity between all the various aspects of human experience. I'm thinking about something that all those dimensions have in common and how they interact. It takes somebody reaching out and being meaningful in the life of another person. And there's all kinds of ways we can be meaningful. And then there's all kinds of ways we can be distant. Sometimes just because we don't know how to do it, or we flubbed it up before, whatever. So we just keep a distance. What does it take for us to transcend whatever limitation we've had in that regard and say, hey, it's worth it. I'm going to do what I can to reach out and find a way to be meaningful in relationship to this other person. And it gets back to what I think a few of us have been saying. There is a reaching out of thought and a reaching out of heart in some way. Reach out and touch somebody. So it is touching somebody, and that's a risky business. But it's touching somebody with some creative expression, some part of the gift that we have to give. And then in giving our gifts to each other, we are weaving together the drum. We're not just hanging out in distance. We are learning to reciprocate with one another in a way that builds the drum. I talked to my daughter Helena last night, and she was telling me how she's facing a new situation in her corporate life and looking at the prospect of managing a larger team of people. And I told her that, you know, I thought it's possible that she and I both have a similar issue, which is a lack of reaching out and being specific with people. A way to reach out and touch somebody is to reach out and get very specific with them about something, whatever it might be. Done in the right spirit, that's a creative act. And so when I think about the drumhead that we share, I see a need for that kind of reaching out, as well as all the rest of it. All the loving, all the creativity, all the dynamism, enthusiasm. There's so many ways to reach out, all the care. So many ways to reach out and touch and connect. And it's for the sake of that other person. And then it's also for the larger sake of the drumhead that we share, to weave the drumhead back together. Because, you know, chronically, like, my supposition here is that we're dealing with a pandemic, global pandemic of broken drumhead.
You know, David, this reminds me of when I was in South Africa, Lawrence and I gave a service, Lawrence Goransky, and he said, he was talking to one of his sons, and he said, you know, talking about going on a date is very different than actually going on one. And just taking the step of connecting, and all the talking he had done, you know, his son was facing the, I guess what teenage boys might call terror of what would happen on his first date. But they, you can prep, but you gotta do something. You know, just like you can talk about playing a drum, you can talk about moving your body, but if you don't put your hands on the drum head, or if you don't engage your physicality, you can't then feel the field and what's between you and another person without some generation of experience. And you just get better at it. You know, being a beginner at it is might be a little scary, but you start to read the field better because you're co-creating the field. You start to see what's happening because it's happening in you and with the people you have some resonance with. So I really appreciate the all the things you mentioned. It's like we're shaping the field, creating the field, governing the field, carrying the vibration of the field. It's like all those verbs are happening at the same time, and it requires being willing to know there is a field and that you're part of it, so that you get to understand. Well, as Tom was saying, you're not a black belt until you have some generation about what it even means to know the art form. And it's never too late to become a beginner in these things. Masterful is on the way.
And I think of the times over my life, you know, when I was in band or an orchestra, and I think of myself as the instrument, you know, that comes together in that group. And my responsibility to purify the energetic parts of my being, whether it's my physical body vibration or my thought vibration or my emotional vibration and my spiritual vibration, to purify it and cleanse it to the highest point possible so that I can come into a pure alignment with Source, that direct 6 o'clock. And then if each person who's in either a band or orchestra, whatever it is you're creating, is in that space of that pure perfection of vibration, the creation that comes together is just becomes so, I don't even have a word for it, but so expanded and so phenomenal and just so close to that perfection of all that is. And I just am reminded of my responsibility to make sure that I come to the playground, to the band, to the drum circle or whatever it is in the purest way possible to offer those high frequencies. And that's what comes to my mind.
There's nothing as magical as facing the wind together and being together in that. And looking out at the creative field and knowing that you are together in loving and intelligently caring for that field. There is no feeling like it. I don't know what else to say. It's just been an experience today that was so profound. Not just one experience, many of accessing, facing in the right direction, being together, and loving and caring for that field in an intelligent way. So I am so thankful for this evening, because it just brings everything home in my heart and my mind, and my love for the spirit that we share, because it's all one. So thank you. Thank you, David.
I would just like to follow you, Madeline. Yesterday, I had an opportunity to listen to my son. He works with, he's in the field of psychiatric medicine. And they had like a question and answer come together with about 8 other professionals in the same field. And the moderator, who was a pastor, that was moderating the team, and the team was finding peace. And I was really anxious to hear what they were going to share, how they were going to look at it. But I think one of the things that came out very clear, and I was really touched when everybody who spoke had to speak from the peace is not out there, it comes from within. And you cannot give it to anybody if you don't have it. And one of the things that they focused more on, son Michael, was because he was the youngest in the group of the 8 people. You just left school and you are in this field and you are handling psychiatric patients. So what do you do? How do you approach that? And you know, sometimes when we live with children, we underestimate them. We think that, you know, they're not saying anything. We always think we know better than them. But I was really thankful that the answers he gave had to do with, you don't have to see the person, you don't have to come from that point of making the person know that, you know, you're sick, you're crazy. You come from some other direction. And the direction is that you are a human being. I love you. You are love. And anything that is happening to you, it's not you. And then from there, you let the person open up and then you get connection. And the connection is more in to being together as human beings, as he put it. And why I'm sharing this is the fact that sometimes I'm talking as a parent, we always think, oh, there's nothing happening here because maybe they don't have the opportunity. They don't sit with us. They don't share what we are sharing together. But I think it takes us to just be focused in what we are doing together and let that substance overflow. Let the stretching of the drum, because when you were talking about how they stretch the skin to make the drums, I was thinking of how even back home when the drums are like not sounding well, they take them to the sun and they heat them up. And I just think that all we need to do is to just keep doing our own part of what we need to do. And I know that the world is changing. People are out there who are actually picking that up and working with that in their own different ways that they find themselves. So it's wonderful. Thank you, David, for each time when you share what you share, it's really touching. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Sarah. You ever have the idea that your thoughts are not your own, but you're thinking for the collective, or you're thinking for the field? You're just thinking the thoughts of the field, and you're feeling the field and feeling the feelings of the field, and then bringing vibration into the field. Anyway, these things have been working me, as you can tell. And I believe that the way we think about what we're thinking and feeling creates a separateness that makes it very difficult to be the drum together. If there's a shift in consciousness that realizes, you know what? I'm not just thinking my thoughts. I'm thinking our thoughts. I'm not just feeling what I'm feeling. I'm feeling what we're feeling. I'm feeling what you're feeling. Then I am thinking wholeness. I haven't lost track of me. I've got a part, individual part in it all. But still, something's happened in my way of thinking about things that I'm not thinking about we're all separate and how do we come together. No, I'm seeing what I'm thinking and feeling as being an expression of us together. So I think we're at time. Thank you, Karen, for getting up in the middle of your night there. Appreciate it. And thank you, everybody, to be part of this little meditative journey. And I encourage you to just sit with it and just see where you go with it. And see what becomes possible when you think about your thinking and your feeling differently. And consider that you may be not only thinking and feeling for yourself, but you may be thinking and feeling for a larger field. And that you have an opportunity to bring into that thinking and that feeling a radiant spiritual vibration that vibrates it in a different way. I say, give it a go.
I say yes. Beautiful. Thank you all. Very beautiful.
Okay. Well, good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. Good night.
Thank you, David.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Good night. God
see
night.
You.
Night.
Thank you, Carrie.
And hi.
Thank you.
Night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night. Good night.